So once again, social need plays a role for tourism. We are understanding that tourism needs and Maslow's theory step by step. So for a businessman's personality in rural tourism, typical features include diligence, accuracy, dedication, creativity, persistence, but also managerial and organizing skill, ability to communicate with and treat people. And this is an area I've spoken a little bit in the previous talk, which I was doing now. I'm again counting and adding something more to that. For example, a group of French tourists have come and they've gone to some rural area. Obviously, in that rural area, they won't find people who would be speaking French, obvious. But if a tourist guide who can communicate, translate the whole thing to the rural community in a lingo that they speak, and then what they expect from that area is being translated in turn to the tourist, all will play and satisfy the needs of tourists. And then we go to level 5 and level 6. Cognitive and aesthetic needs. These are also referred to a dispensable need, so-called high category needs, meta needs. Yeah. So not everybody can afford to all this, and not all of food go for these type of requirement or need. For example, somebody would like to watch go down to a submarine. Take a submarine that could possibly take him down up to 1,000 meters, 800 meters. Very recently, I just read, maybe 2 days back, that in Gujarat, near Dwarka, they are going to have submarine that will go below up as much as 300 meters for the tourists who would come down into the coast area of Dwarka. So these are total aesthetic needs. Not every tourist can afford. I would also include here, possibly yes, bungee jumping. Because bungee jumping, you need to have a strong heart and also a specific aesthetic needs. Not everybody can take up a bungee jumping. They also have some requirement. And so on and so forth. So these are the level 5 and 6 that I identified and picked up here. We are continuously moving in understanding cognitive needs are described such as knowledge and understanding the local lifestyle. Yeah, there are people who come in, the tourists who come in and would like to understand various things, why this happens, why this practice happened. They would have read something, but they would like to understand it from the local people. So such as appreciation and search for beauty, balance, and different formats. So here, a local lifestyle, why do they live here? Why people living in the mountainous region have not the flat roof, but slopy roof? Just to understand, because there is, say, for example, if you go down to heavy rainfall areas, like in Konkan, where it rains more than 120 inches in a year, they have their rooftop, which is slopy and not flat. But as you go down to Rajasthan, the houses built there don't have a slopy, but they have a flat surfaces and a flat rooftop. So these are certain things that people would, these were just example. And then level 7 come to self-actualization needs. These are referred to as self-realization need and are the top level of Maslow's theory. Maslow's hierarchy theory. These refer to the need for a personal cultivation needs, realizing personal potential, self-fulfillment, seeking personal growth and peak experience. So these are very high self-actualization need. Possibly this could be 1 out of 10,000 or 1 out of 1,000. Very much personal need. Many may not go around to this sort of a self-actualization need, but those who have these type of need, there are tourism organization, travel agent, tour operator, offering this to that type of the level 7 needs. So in terms of rural tourism, the level of self-realization is dependent on a particular rural locality structure and quality of tourism services. Now, this may not be available. For example, a scuba diving. Scuba diving doesn't happen everywhere. Wherever there is a possibility of diving into the sea and floating within that region is something as a self-realization, actualization. So no doubt these needs can also have sustainable features of tourism. These are, for example, heritage trails or Moravian wine trails, beer trails, or horse trails. So these are various examples picked up. Heritage trails, say for example, someone is going to the Buddhist belt of heritage in Bihar. Or we are talking about the wine trails. There are wineries in Germany, in France, where they grow grapes, which is wine, and it is grown in a specific area with a specific soil and specific weather condition. So that is something to be observed. And a lot of wine-producing nations that are now coming up, for example, in India as well, we have got wineries in Nashik. They would have learned as a self-actualization of understanding the from the wine trail and the beer trail, or just riding on a horse and understanding quite a few things. You know what we call as pagdandi. Okay. So understanding the tourists, we move now to tourists and their motivation. Motivation, what makes some end user to become a tourist? We talk of that. So a tourist, first let us understand who is a tourist, which we have learned, but let's once again revise and understand. A tourist is a person who travels away from home for leisure, business, or other purposes for longer than a day. That means 24 hours, but less than a year. This is an explanation of a tourist who goes and lives beyond his or her normal habitat for more than 24 hours, but less than 1 year. An excursion is a person who arrives at the destination and departs on the same day. So that may not be classified as a tourist, but as an excursionist who has just gone for 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 20 hours, and have come back to his place of habitat. He's an excursionist, which means he has gone on an excursion. The tourists and their motivations are dynamic. They change according to the stages in their life, in their life cycle, excuse me. So they change according to the stages in their life cycle. A youth, the millennials, the generation X and YZ have a different age group. Their requirements would be different than one who is a family person, and then the family group may have a different requirement which a senior citizen may have, and they may not. So in their life cycle, the motivation changes. You understand? A youth will be more adventurous, would be going into more places, be outgoing, can walk for 10 hours, 8 hours, and so on. Whereas family would look into something for children, something for female with them, the lady who is with them. And likewise, a senior citizen would love to utilize more of mobility through vehicles rather than taking an exercise and putting their legs on a strain. So a younger person may have a specific reason to travel, and that is different for a senior aged person, as I just explained. We again take account of tourist motivation. The forces driving the change in the travel and tourism industries are many. many. You cannot just click and say this is the only reason of motivation. So major reason for travel, why do people take a travel? Why do people go out of their home for more than 24 hours? Sometimes for professional and business. So you have a business meeting that is happening in Cairo and you are traveling from Delhi to Cairo. Or that's a business meeting where possibly you would be just locked for your business meeting and you come back. Holiday, people travel for holidays. I got a leave of 10 days and I'm traveling. And then people go for religious activities like performing, going to Ashtadham, Chahardham, or visiting a Buddhist culture or some born place of Buddha in Bodh Gaya, or going down to Mecca and Medina, or performing any rituals. All that falls under religious tourism activities, pilgrimage activities. Then people go for cultural, psychological, personal education. Yes, all this culture activities happening. I give example of Dahi Handi, or people come to Mumbai to see the Ganesh Visarjan. That happens in a big way in Mumbai. People come for that type of a cultural activity, psychological activities, personal activities, and to educate. A lot of travelers do go to another country to go for higher education. They would like to study something. And they may stay there for 2 years, 3 years, and so on, depending on what they have gone. If they have gone for a longer time, there are students who have been living for 4 and 5 years for completion of their education, and so on. So then people do need to go for physical and psychological need for themselves to be fit, regenerated. That's the reason for travel. Then people go for social activities, meet different culture, different people who speak different language, different code, different gastronomic and different type of fashion. All that are social and interpersonal. People go for health and medical. I mentioned about regeneration or medical treatment in any form, and all that are linked to the tourist motivation. So one of these would motivate you to travel. Dear student, you are listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah, and we are doing our chapter number 6. We move further in professional business once again. Professional traveling to distinct places for work-related matters. For example, airline crew, that's their job. They fly from point A to point B, 8 hours flying, 10 hours flying, sometimes 16 to 18 hours of a long-haul flight, like from Singapore to New York, crossing the Pacific Ocean, a flight of more than 16 to 17 hours non-stop. And there is a 2 set of crew on the flight. And they do this regular basis. There are crew that goes to London on Air India flight, Mumbai to London, and they are overnighting there. Next morning, when another flight come in, they come back with that flight. So these are related to business, one of these. There could be people travel for search of employment, opportunities, or for going for business meetings. As I mentioned, you could go anywhere for a business meeting for more than 1 day or 2 days, attending conferences, meeting, exhibition, or taking up workshop and short-term courses. You may go there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. All these are linked motivation for professional and business activities. Then tourist motivation also refers to holidaying. We all need some sort of rest. So we travel for tourist places, destination, a part of leisure travel and vacation. We pick up any destination that is closer to us, possibly within our budget, possibly something that you look forward where you think, yes, you would have a peace of mind, or traveling to favorite places for relaxation and have some change from the routine, day-to-day life cycle that we go through. There we forget and just relax. So that is a holiday or a vacation. Religious element and that is participation in thematic tour or religious travel and pilgrimages. So this could be many examples, visiting places for mediation and study purposes. There are a lot who go down for searching salvation into Himalayas or into an area which is not linked with the material world. Of course, this is some people's interest and motivation that yes, they have gone into that and they have gone into Himalayas for 2 months or 2 years and so on. Or performing any ritual, they go down to Haridwar, they go down to Prayagraj, or they go down to Pandharpur, or they travel to St. Peter's Square in Rome, or Mecca and Medina. So all these are finest example that can be given for reason for pilgrimage and religious tourism. Then culture, going into different type of festivals, sometimes music festivals, like you see Oktoberfest that happens even in Mumbai, and Oktoberfest that happened all around Germany in the month of October, that happens all around before the real autumn sets in after the summer is over. That's an Oktoberfest. It is celebrated throughout the Germany. Or the Carnival Festival that happens in Brazil in the month of February. A replica of that in some way happens in Goa called Carnival Festival, because Goa was a Portuguese colony and some of the practices and cultural activities that was happening in the Portuguese time era are still continue. So some people travel to Goa to see those type of festival, which is again a cultural festival. Visiting destination or heritage site or cultural places due to their importance also includes ecotourism, and then minded all this, whichever type of tourists we do talk about, the motivation, the ecotourists are sitting and the ecotourism policies, practices, regulations, rules and practicing of ecotourism is prime and of utmost importance. Without ecotourism, sustainable tourism, the tourism industry is not going to continuously survive. Right now we look into the psychological needs, enjoying calmness, relaxation, cultural beauty of the place. Yes, I'm just sitting at my window and watch the sunrise at possibly 6 o'clock or 5:30, depending on the sunrise timing in that era. And I thoroughly enjoy sun coming out from the mountain. And I see this till it is over 1 hour. And if it's a winter season, I just go and warm myself up. This is quite a psychological need. And likewise, taking part in participation in outdoor sport or related activities such as sailing, skiing, trekking, skydiving, parachuting, safari, etc. are all physical activities. You need to be quite fit for all these type of activities that I was just mentioning. Quite important. Tourist motivation, these factors that we just now spoke, physical and psychological, may not sit well for many of us. This is okay for those people who have these type of physical fitness to go for all these type of activities. Social, visiting friends and relatives is one of the reasons many of us are traveling. We go and meet our sisters, brothers, friends, working in possibly in UK, in Australia, in United Arab Emirates and so on. And for social purposes, for example, family functions, a big family meeting up in somewhere on a cruise ship and celebrating certain activities, that's a family function. And that is the motivation for many of them. And health and medical, I don't need to explain it to you. A lot of people travel for medical reasons. Treatment of a cancer, gamma surgery, open heart surgery, treatment of different diseases for which the medical attention, cancer treatment for which the extreme good quality of medical attention, they think that is not available in their home country. For them, they travel. So in search of fitness, health, and wellness, discovering warm relaxation at sea coast or beaches, visiting places for treatment and recuperation. Business, now types of tourists, we go to next type. Business and professional tourists, you understand, those who go for business activities, they may go for business activities only, or in recent year, there is a trend which was termed as bileisure, business and leisure combined. So you have gone there, your business activities begin on Monday, so you have arrived there on Saturday. So you, 2 days you have for leisure activities, or at the tail end of your journey, maybe your business meeting is until Thursday and you have a Friday, Saturday, you would stay there for a weekend. So that is bileisure, which is combination of business and leisure. Otherwise, business traveler or leisure and holiday tourists, tourists traveling to visit friends and relatives, youth tourists, including backpackers, and gap year travelers. You all students know what is a gap year. So those who have not taken up any further study for a particular year, they would explore. And they would say, okay, a group of Chinese youth coming in from Japan and exploring India. And they would be going around all over India in a course of 2 months time period. And these are all falling into the leisure and holiday tourists, visiting friends and relatives, youth tourists. We have spoken in length about that. All these are business tourists. They go for business activities. Educational tourists, they go to attend a place for learning foreign language, to any higher studies, management studies, chemical engineering, or some sort of advanced science learning, aerospace learning. All these which are available in international universities of Australia, Canada, or US, or UK, anywhere in the world, they would go for education to study, improve qualification, add more degrees to their personality, their educational background. Then people go for incentive that falls under MICE, meeting incentives. Incentive is for a good job done. Certain things are given to you in form of a travel, wherein you go and have a holiday at the same time, meet the people who are also sent because they have done something unique as an incentive. All of them meet and go ahead with some learning activities. Business professional tourists, health or medical tourists we are talking. So because they want to visit a holiday spa, or a medical special treatment that is only available away from home. So people from Mumbai going down to Kerala for specific type of massages like telam massage or mud massage theory or just detoxification theory that's available there. So they travel for this, or during that they undergo procedures that are cheaper in another country or are for recovering from an illness in healthier climate. There are a lot of such medical treatment which people travel, especially European, coming into the developing countries like India, because our medical care is great. We have a great potential for medical tourism, and we have been successfully tapping it as well. So we do have medical tourism flourishing in our country from people traveling from abroad, say from Gulf countries, even some of the European countries. We do get tourists because our medical treatment, which is of course a high rank quality, then they come here with the price that is almost one third of what they pay in their home country. That's why a lot of international tourists also travel down to Thailand for a specific type of treatment or a medical attention, say like gender change. That's a medical treatment that is considered to be much cheaper in Thailand in comparison to Europe and so on. These were a few examples. from various different type of tourists. And now we look at leisure and holiday. So adventure tourists, one who like to go and be adventurous. They are different. They have got a lot of motivation. They have energy. They would like to achieve something. They sometimes take risk, calculated risk, of course. And then culture tourism, I've spoken on that. Say people coming, I mentioned this about the famous festival that happened at Kala Ghoda in South Mumbai. Festival in Mumbai or cultural and music related festival. Generally this happens when the weather outside is comparatively better. Then ecotourists, those who travel to experience nature, such as traveling to northeast region of India, like northeastern Seven Sisters state, Manipur, Meghalaya, and Mizoram, Tripura, Arunachal Pradesh, Sikkim. All these are the northeastern states which have accepted and adopted the policies for ecotourism and successfully been implementing and practicing for quite a long time. The state of Kerala won the first award from the UN for the ecotourist destination in India. So yes, we have also leisure tourists as a type of tourist. They want to rest and relax. Religious tourism, very well understood. They travel also for shopping. The one is the shopping tourists. And you will not be surprised to hear from me this particular thing. The religious, the shopping tourists. Who are shopping tourists? Say people going down to Thailand, people traveling to United Arab Emirates, Dubai, and for them, shopping, be it gold, be it textile, be it perfume, electronic, they go down and they just, many of them just go for shopping only. They travel to shopping malls, shopping centers, factory shop, craft market, festival, and so on. And then special interest tourists, SIT, they have particular interests such as bird watching. They go down and sit and watch the birds, like any type of bird, could be flamingo, could be pelicans, could be any bird. And they sit, they have a lot of patience in them because birds, migrating birds including, like we have one at Sivri, we have somewhere in Nehru, Navi Mumbai, near Vashi, we have all those creeks. Then people also travel for a special type of wineries, be it is in Germany or in France or South Africa, for example. South Africa has a huge amount of orchids and fruit gardens where a lot of fruits is being produced for their bottling plant and for export. Then people go down specially for watching blossoming flower. For example, I would give an example of the tulips. In Kashmir, the tulip is grown and there is a special tulip garden near Srinagar where tulip is found between April and May only. Likewise, people go down to Amsterdam in Holland, Netherlands, to watch and see the tulip garden. Yeah, that's a special interest for flower. And book fair also, people who are reading and enjoying reading part, they attend book fair because new books, antique books are sometimes available in these type of book fairs. And then sports, you all know that could be football, could be cricket, could be any international sports, could be Olympic, could be Winter Olympic, could be Asian Games, could be Commonwealth Games. All this happen. These are all sports and recreational activities that I could explain to you at this point. Tourists traveling to visit friends and relatives. Yes, we know this. We have already spoken that people go down to Dubai, to Australia, to Canada. While visiting, while enjoying their holiday, they also visit their friends and relatives. Many a time they stay with them. Instead of staying at a hotel, They stay with the friends and relatives. They may also go to attend a wedding, like we get in our part of the world. We get a lot of tourists coming in, family friends coming in from Canada, from US, from United Arab Emirates to attend the marriages of their friends and relatives in India. So they are also coming for special birthday functions, family-related celebration that are related to friends and relatives. So these are all friends. And then, of course, youth. Youth is giving a great contribution to the growth of tourism industry. Of course, their spending capacity is limited because they have limited income. As a result, they may not be high spenders, but they do contribute to the growth of tourism. It could start from anything as a backpacking or little luggage. Backpackers literally mean tying up at the back of your shoulder, and then you move around, you stay in a limited budget hotel, you dine on a suite, and so on. So these are all youth travelers. They don't stay in four-star, five-star hotel. They live in youth hostels, or they enjoy meeting different travelers of their age group. They are flexible in schedule. They don't fix up that I would do this only on so-and-so date. They are flexible. Then the gap year, I mentioned this very important point. You all know that sometimes people take as a gap that, okay, I've been continuously studying for 15 years. I would like to take a gap and I would like to travel. So that's a gap area that we are talking. You don't study further or enter job opportunities after school. Instead, they take a break called a gap year. They travel, work, and earn money, learn new skills, or do volunteer tourism in another country. Then stopover tourists, this is another very important tourist group that many airlines capitalize to capture them and earn big money. Give example, you are traveling on Emirates Airline, Mumbai, Dubai, and then from Dubai, you are going to London. So instead of taking a connecting flight, you break your holiday for 3 days in Dubai and you meet your friends, relatives, and do some shopping. That's a stopover holiday. Likewise, you are going to, say, Philippines. So you took up Cathay Pacific Airways, say, Mumbai to Hong Kong, take a break in Hong Kong for 2 days, or you are going Mumbai, Singapore, take a break of 2-3 days as a stopover, not doing anything other than just seeing some sights, going for some shopping, coming back and taking the same airline or another airline, and these are called stopover holidays. Many international airlines are promoting them. They have a department called stopover holidays, wherein they capitalize on all this. So stopover tourists, say specific as explained, this has become a very important element to tap as a group. A stopover tourist is a person who visits another place outside their usual environment for a short period. Stopover tourists, stay for at least 24 hours and use some form of overnight accommodation, whether at hotel, homestay with friends and relatives. Yeah, so these were stopover tourists. The category of tourists is economically the most important to any country. They tap it. When Emirates Airlines started in late 80s, they were capitalizing on stopover tourists. In some cases, stopover holidays was offered to them complimentary if they took entire journey on Emirates Airline. Likewise, some airlines like Turkish Airlines offer this stopover holidays to business class travelers who are flying business class on Turkish Airlines going onward from Istanbul to anywhere. They could avail these stopover holidays. this category of tourists is economically the most important to any country. They spend their accommodation, food, shopping, sightseeing, and transport, providing revenues to a variety of tourism agencies. So they are either provided by an airline or they sell as a stopover package. This stopover tourists may stop at the destination for various reasons. Typically, popular destination for stopovers are Finland, Beijing, Abu Dhabi, or Dubai, to list a few. From our perspective, we can look at Dubai or Abu Dhabi. Then pit stopover tourists. This is another type of a tourist that we must learn. Pit stop tourists are at a destination for a brief time, usually a few hours, primarily to catch a connecting service to their final destination. So they have a connecting flight, say after 6 hours, and that gap of 6 hours from arrival from a flight to connect another flight, that's a pit stop. And then they have a long stop, visitors who stay for a day or two overnight. Long stay travelers are those who are in a city or other than their home stay, usually on a work or a study program that requires them to stay for a long time. Now, these are long stay visitors who may stay there for 1 month, 2 months, and so on. Day visitors are those who turn back within 24 hours to a destination, and they do not use overnight stop. They may be at the destination for a quick tour or to visit friends and relatives. So this type of a day, someone has gone for a business activity to Delhi and has come back, gone by 7 o'clock flight from Mumbai and returning by the night, 8 o'clock flight again from Delhi to Mumbai, didn't make a stopover. So they are day visitor. It could be any example, somebody going for a business trip from Amsterdam to Paris and returning from Paris the same day. They are all classified under day visitor. And then these are the broad categories of tourists. However, one may overlap with another. For instance, so all these that we just now explained to you, and you have understood in detail from me, these could overlap. There could be combination of many things. For instance, a business trip may be exceeded into a leisure. I identified that. It's known as a B leisure. So it's an overlapping. You had business and you combined leisure. Or you did leisure and then combined it with business. Whatever be the category of the tourist, it is indisputable that every visitor is important to the tourism business. All these that we have learned in detail of different type of tourists are very important. They should be understood. They should be provided the service with the first thing that we saw, that what are the physical and psychological needs that must be handed over to earn good revenue. So you were listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. Thank you for listening to me. Have a great day.